34, verse 3. We'll read through the verse and then we'll pray and we'll get started. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being good to us, dear Lord. We thank you that we have air on this hot day. I thank you for the beautiful people that are in this church. I thank you for loving us. I thank you that you allow us to love each other, dear Lord. I thank you for the work that has went into this VBS this week. I thank you, God, just for all you do for us, dear Lord. We cannot praise you and glorify you enough. And I pray that in these few minutes, dear Lord, that these simple words that we have read would have an impact on our life, dear Lord, that we would focus on you and your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your love and your forgiveness, dear Lord. Your Holy Spirit would be among us, God. You know where we are in our lives today. You know what's going on. Their struggles and their stresses and their fears. And it's just life is hard, dear Lord. And there's sin in our life. And it's just a lot of stuff, God. And we need you to give us the strength and the power and the forgiveness and the grace to get through. So I pray, God, that everything that is said here today will be for your glory. And that it would uplift us, dear Lord. That we would praise your holy name. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This verse is really quite beautiful, and it's simple enough, but really to understand what's going on, we have to look at the context of the verse just a little bit. Now, if you go and read in Psalm 34 in your Bible, it's likely you're going to see a superscription there that says that it's a Psalm of David when he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech or something along those lines. Now, here's some homework for you this week. If you want some homework, go to 1 Samuel chapter 19 and read those three, four chapters around there. And you'll begin to see what's going on and why David is writing these words that he is writing here. Now, David was soon to become the king of Israel, but the big problem was that they already had a king, King Saul. And Saul, he really didn't start off on too good of a note from the get-go, and things really went downhill. And it was decided by God that Saul was no longer fit to be king, and he was going to be replaced by David. So you can understand why there was some tension there. And as Saul's mental health and spiritual health, I guess we could say, began to decline, he kind of was really going crazy. He had this hatred and this desire to kill David. Things really got pretty intense. Now, David, of course, God had blessed him. David had killed the giant Goliath, and David was phenomenal in his military battles. He had killed thousands. In the Psalms, in Samuel, it even talks about that. The people talking about Saul's killed his thousands, and David has killed tens of thousands. And things were very, very difficult between Saul and David. There was a lot of tension there. And Saul had a son by the name of Jonathan, and Jonathan and David were quite good friends. And as Saul was continuing to try to kill David, Jonathan said, "Look, I don't know if my dad's going to kill you, but I'll find out if he is, and you hide out in a certain spot. I'll go see if he's going to kill you or not. And if I think your life is in danger, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to shoot some arrows." Some of you may have heard this story before. "And I'm going to have an old boy out there, and he's going to go get the arrows. And if I fire it short and I holler to the boy, come back. If the arrow's closer this way, then you'll know it's safe." But he says, "If I fire the arrow long and I tell the old boy to go out there a little bit further to get the arrow, then you'll know that it's not safe and you need to head out." And so David began to flee from Saul. And obviously this was difficult. You got somebody that's trying to take your life, and here David is fleeing. And we see as the story unfolds, we see some other stories that maybe are referenced in the New Testament that you may recall. There's an instance as David leaves and begins to flee that he comes to the tabernacle and the priest Abimelech is there, and David and his men are hungry, and there's nothing to eat. And Abimelech says, well, all we have is the showbread, the bread that's inside of the tabernacle, and that's not for normal people, but nonetheless, he gave it to David, and Jesus even references that story in the New Testament. Later on, David goes before another king in an area where David's life may be in danger because they know of David and his greatness, and they may very well kill him. They're afraid of him. And David pretends to be insane in this king's presence. And this is where the psalm brings us to. This is why this psalm was written. This is when this psalm was written. After David was fleeing, and God had been good to David throughout David's life, not just in this instance, but in so many instances, we see that David's life is in jeopardy. We see that David sinned greatly. Now, don't misunderstand this. We see in the scripture that David is a man after God's own heart, but do not read into that David was perfect, because David was not perfect. And throughout some of these stories of David, there are some things that are sometimes questionable, that we're not quite sure about. But nonetheless, it makes the story of David that much more beautiful. That God continued to bless him, that God continued to deliver him, that God continued to lift him up, and God was going to use David to do something so magnificent that the very Messiah was going to come from the bloodline of David. And so David knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like to suffer in his sin. He knew what it was like for his life to be under attack. But he knew what it was like when God came to the rescue. He knew what it was like to receive forgiveness. He knew what it was like to receive deliverance. And he wrote this beautiful psalm after these events that we just saw. It's a beautiful psalm, and it's a certain style of psalm that sometimes that we see in the scriptures. It's called an acrostic. And the first letter of every verse of the psalm would have been the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. First letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph, and the second letter is Bet, which is where we get our word alphabet from. And it's a way of saying that I've covered this topic from A to Z, so to speak. From beginning to end, I've covered this topic. What is the topic? It is the topic of praise. It is a topic of praising God and proclaiming His name. Some of your translations may say, I proclaim the Lord here. I give God the glory. I glorify God. I magnify His holy name. Would you magnify the name of the Lord with me? All of us together, would we look back and see the beautiful and wonderful and great things that God has done? And would we praise God together, David says. Now, we just read this whole, or recall this whole story of what went on with David, but what has that got to do with our VBS? Well, it's kind of a play on words. Our theme this year is magnify. You see magnifying glasses all around. Now certainly when we see the word magnify in this psalm, it's not talking about David who's sitting there with a magnifying glass looking at God saying, oh God, I magnify you. That's not what he's talking about here. But for VBS with this verse, it's a play on words. It's David saying, look, I've recognized the greatness of God. I have focused on, I have seen all the little things and the big things that God has done, and therefore I will praise His holy name. And that's what our theme is in Bible school, and maybe that should be our theme in life. Maybe our stories are not so unlike David's. Maybe our stories are full of bad decisions and sins that we have committed. Maybe our stories are full of difficult times and people who are out to get us, or just a variety of hardships that we face. Whatever our story may be, our stories are hard. They are hard, and life is hard, and life is difficult. But what we have to stop sometimes and do is realize that God is with us. That we serve a God who has created everything. This week we're going to celebrate the bigness of God. And we need to celebrate that every day in our lives. And as we look at the universe and we look at everything all around us and the complexity of our human body and the beauty of this world and all the things that we see, these things magnify God. they show us the power of God. And the most beautiful thing about God is He's big enough to create all of these things, but He's not so big that He forgets about you and I. God knows your problems. He knows your struggles. He knows your sins. God doesn't want us to live in those things. He doesn't want us to live in our fear. He doesn't want us to live in our worry. He doesn't want us to live in our sin. He wants to give us freedom in Jesus Christ. And so maybe this week, even if you're not a wee little tyke, and even if you're not going to be attending VBS, maybe today is a good time for you to reflect and think for just a moment about the goodness of God in your life. And maybe right offhand you think, there ain't no goodness. My life is bad. Well, think a little harder. There are probably more good things in your life than you realize. Even in the midst of difficulty, there may be more blessings in your life than you realize. And maybe we need to take the song to heart and count our blessings and name them one by one. And maybe when we really stop and begin to look at our life and push everything to the side, our sin and our stresses and our struggles and our worries, and we just begin to focus our hearts and our attention on God, and we turn the world off for just a moment, and we begin to just focus on God and look at Him, maybe then we begin to see His greatness. Maybe then we begin to experience His love. Maybe then we know that God has not forgotten us. God does care about us. That God does love us. We can begin to reflect and think about all the things in our life. Yeah, there's bad days. But think about the goodness of God and the ways that He has been with you and the ways that He has brought you right where you are right now. Sometimes we have to go through some really tough stuff to get to where God wants us to be. We don't like the journey, but we do appreciate the destination. And everything that God allows in our life is to cause us to draw closer to Him. And that's where our destination needs to be today. That we stop trying to seek and go after things of the world, but that we recognize the goodness and the grace of God, and that we seek just to set up camp with Him. So maybe there are things in your life today, maybe like that of David, things that you need to reflect on, and you need to remember the goodness of God. And the result needs to be the same as the result in David's life. When David recognized the goodness of God and how God had been with him, David said, "I'm going to magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. Let us see the bigness of God, the grace of God, and the love of God, and all of the things that God has done. And let us praise God this morning. There's no greater thing that God has done for us today than sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us. We struggle. We are full of sin. We are full of wickedness. We are full of stress. We are full of worry. And there's only one way that we obtain deliverance. There is only one way that we obtain peace today, and that is through Jesus Christ. He died for you, He was buried in a grave for you, and God rose Him from that grave so that your sins may be forgiven. That is a God that is worthy of our praise today. So let us exalt God together. Let's pray. God, we come to You, we thank You for Your good word. I pray, dear Lord, that we don't fail to realize Your goodness, just in creation and the things that You do, dear Lord, and the way that You put things into place in our life, dear Lord. Let us not fail to see You working in this world. God, it may not always seem like it. It may not always seem like You're with us, or it may not seem like You care, dear Lord, but You do. And You have not abandoned us. You have not forsaken us, dear Lord. You care for us, and You love us, and You are with us, and You have done so many great things. So God, I pray that You help us not to fail to realize Your goodness today. God, I pray that if there is one in here that does not know Jesus Christ, that maybe today for the first time they would repent. That right now, God, they would ask You to forgive them of their sinfulness. God, maybe they've seen some of the ways you've worked in their life, but maybe they've never really given their life to you, dear Lord. I pray that today that they would put their faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some in here today, dear Lord, and they are yours. And maybe just the hustle and the bustle and just the busyness of life and stress and sin has caused us to lose sight of you, dear Lord. But I pray that you would reshift our focus, that we would recognize the grace that we have received through Jesus Christ, that we would recognize the ways in which you work and continue to bless us, and that today, dear Lord, we would magnify your holy name, that we would praise you, that we would proclaim you, that we would glorify you, dear Lord. And I pray that as a church body, as brothers and sisters in Christ, dear Lord, that we would exalt your name today, this week in VBS, and every day of our life, dear Lord. I pray that you would just bless these next few minutes, God. If you have spoken to anybody, I pray that they would respond to you, dear Lord. And I ask these things in Jesus' name.